Amen. Well, it's good to be back on the broadcast again today. We thank God for the privilege we have come before the microphone this morning, and kind of be a blessing to you for the service today, and reminding you this is the Lord's Day. Get up and get ready, be in the house of God. Sunday school begins at 10 here at Mountain View Baptist Church, where we're members at, and then a worship service 10:45. And then back tonight at 5 o'clock for the evening service, and then Wednesday prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. So we urge you to come and be in the services throughout the day, and looking forward to worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I pray that you will find your way to the house of God. Be there in your place. If you are members of the church, you know where you belong. You know where you're supposed to be on the Lord's Day. And I pray that God would help you in that this morning. I want to send it out to all the shut-ins, those that's not able to get out to be in the house of God. We trust it'll be a blessing to your heart this morning, and those that are away from the Lord that are out of a church, I pray that God would speak to you, and then those especially that are lost without a Savior. This may be the day you will get awakened to your need and find your way to the Lord, and He's waiting on you this morning. He's did everything possible for your redemption, made it possible that you could have life and have it more abundantly. That's why He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die on an old rugged cross for the sins of the people. And I trust that you will come and make your peace with God today in the house of God or somewhere out this morning. And then, of course, find your way to the house of God after you're saved. I believe that when folks are truly saved, they'll want to be in church, because Jesus died for the church, gave Himself for the church. And I trust that you will find your way this morning to the house of God. And we want to pray for your needs this morning. Pray for those that are suffering and sick this morning. Father, as we bow in your presence today, we want to thank you for this day. Privileged, Lord, to come to the microphone this morning through the precious blood the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come unworthily, but thankfully, God, that you gave us that grace to come, because grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus. Thank you for that. I pray you bless every need in Radio Land this morning. Touch those that are sick and suffering, those that are away from you, Lord, that have drifted, gotten cold and indifferent, not attending church, not serving the Lord. I pray, God, that you'd awaken in them the need to get right with you. Remind them that you did provide a means to get forgiveness, because 1 John said, if we confess our sins, we readily admit them to you. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for that way back to the cross this morning. Have your way. Touch the unsaved this morning. Bring conviction upon their heart and help them to see their need of a Savior this day. In everything you do, God will give you praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, we're going to have some songs this morning. Hope it will be a real blessing to you today as they sing. Amen.
To be there when the Savior spoke a great command. Oh,
That's the truth this morning. I tell you, it's a miracle that God even saved our souls. When you look at a child of God, once walked in sin, once was depraved and away from God, alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and stranger from the covenants of promise, yet today they're saved by the grace of God. That's a miracle. Some folks are waiting on somebody for the Lord to touch their flesh for a miracle. I'm telling you, the first miracle is the redemption that God provides for the soul of man. And that's the greatest miracle in the world, for to be redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by grace through faith. Are you saved? That not of yourselves, but it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm glad we've got a miracle in us this morning. Amen. Hope you enjoy that today. Have another song now. Hope it'll be a blessing to you as they sing.
Controlled. When he reaches out his hand, storms of life may rage, mighty billows round you roll, but He can calm my troubled sea as He did in days of old. And upon life's sea you sail, trust that Jesus never fails. I'm so glad He sailed. Says to them, be still. What man is this they all did say? Who the wind and seas obey? He is the one who sails with me, 'cause He's the master of my sea. I'm so glad He sails with me, 'cause He's the master of my sea.
Got a lot to thank God for this morning. Okay, all of our heart, we ought to thank the Lord for Jesus Christ, the Savior of our soul, that redeemed us by His precious blood. What a blessing this morning. Philippians chapter 1 today. Philippians chapter 1. We will continue some thoughts today on the book of Philippians. It's the first chapter here concerning the Apostle Paul and the burden of his heart, for the desire of his heart, for the joy of those around him. And Paul was thoroughly enjoying this newfound grace that he had gotten since the road to Damascus. And when Jesus appeared to him and redeemed him by His grace, and thank God and gave him a new pathway to walk in, a new power to be used by, and a new purpose in life, and the new congregation of people that were saved by the grace of God as he saw them one by one, sometimes multitudes, but sometimes one by one, get saved by God's grace and become a part of the family of God. And what a blessing it is to see his heart. And we find his heart here in Philippians, the first chapter. The Bible said, now, of course, we've been commenting about that on where you thanked God for them upon every remembrance of the people at Philippi. We remind you about those that sitting there in the congregation, the Philippian jailer, the woman that was practicing things, and then, of course, those that had been redeemed by his grace, and Paul was useful in getting the gospel to them and seeing them saved by the grace of God. What a blessing it is to see that, and, of course, that Samaritan woman, all thank God for redemption. Amen. So we find Paul's heart here in Philippians chapter 1. We mentioned last Sunday on talked about verse 7, it's meet for me to think this of you all because I have you in my heart. And Paul said, I've got you in my heart, and both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You all are partakers of my grace. Paul was passing out grace. Amen. Grace and peace. That's what he wanted them to have. That's what he mentioned in the first part of the chapter was grace and peace. And when you've got grace, you'll have peace. And when you've got peace, you've had grace. I mean, they go together. The grace of God produces peace in the hearts and lives of those that are recipients of the grace of God. Now, the law was given by Moses, the Bible said, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus. And the grace of God is the reason we're here today. That's the reason Paul was there, because of the grace of God. He weren't there because he was worthy. We're not saved because we're worthy. We're saved because of God's grace permits us to be saved because we is unworthy. And that's the reason Jesus died, because we were unworthy, because we were sinful, because we were depraved and away from God. That's the reason Jesus paid the sin debt for us. And he did that for us. Amen. For us. Thank God. Now for us. And Paul was writing to these folks that was in his heart. I mean, there's some things that he was getting out to them, and he was in their heart. I mean, he was one that he had them up on his heart, and he prayed for them. We mentioned that, of course, how his prayer went out for them. He thanked God for them prayerfully, personally, and petitioned before the Lord for them, and he prayed for them. Thank God for the shepherd. Now, Jesus set the church up, and I said this many times, and I want to say it again. He set the church up in this world. And to you that don't like to go to church, you won't go to church, and you claim you're saved by the grace of God, you're out of God's will. You're out of God's will, because Jesus died for the church, gave himself for it, wrote letters to the church at Ephesus and Philippi, even in jail, wrote a letter to the church at Philippi. Now, if it hadn't been a church there, there would have been no reason to write the letter. There's a church there, and he mentions the church several times in his epistles, how these folks were members of the church, and thank God for all that. So if you claim to be saved by the grace of God, and you're not going to church, and you say you're out of God's will, if you're really saved by the grace of God, there's a place for you to go. There's a church you can attend. I don't care. You say, well, I don't want to drive. Well, I drive a long way myself. And so there's a place to go. There's a place that you can go and carry your family to be in the house of God, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that rejoices in the Lord, loves the Lord, and serves God faithfully in this generation, with a man of God behind the pulpit as an under-shepherd leading that congregation. Now, there's a place for you to go. I know you've got all kinds today claiming to be preachers and holding offices as pastors and so forth. And really, when you look at them, you wouldn't know the difference between them and the world. But I'm telling you, there's a place that you can go to that God's got for you, because the will of God for every believer's life is church attendance. Amen. Because he died for the church, come, and he's coming back to get the church. And so Paul's writing to them here. And if you notice now, we're going to notice this morning, is in verse 7, where we find Paul's heart is found here in verse 7, his heart. He had a shepherd's heart. God put in him a heart for the people. He loved the people. Now, there was all kinds of people there. I remind you this morning that I spoke about last Sunday that there was a couple of women in the church there was at contentions one with another. And they'd gotten an argument about something. They were ill at ease with each other. And he is writing to them also. Didn't mention it here in chapter 1. Didn't say a word about it in chapter 1. He wrote to all the saints. And they was in his heart. Even those that had contentions with each other was in his heart. And you see, your attitude toward God don't change the love of God in the shepherd's love for you, the under-shepherd that God puts over you. Doesn't change that. May not approve of what you're doing or what you're saying or your attitude toward each other, but he still loves you. Amen. And that's in the shepherd's heart. And so the shepherd can love everybody. That's what Jesus did. I'm telling you, brother, when God put love of God in our hearts, we can forgive those that trespass against us. Amen. We can do that. Now, that's forgiveness. If you can't forgive someone else, then you'll not be forgiven by the Lord. Amen. When you get transgression in your life and you're holding things toward your fellow brother and sister, and you won't fix that and you won't fix that thing up, brother, there's a void between you and the Lord, and the relationship is there, but the fellowship is broken because of our disobedience. But anyway, church is a place where people ought to be in the house of God. So Paul's heart was found here in chapter 7. Verse 7, rather. He said, if there is meat for this, to think this of you all. He said, this is what I think about y'all, because I have you in my heart. I've got you in my heart. He lives and breathes your life and your family's life in his heart. And there's a burden that he carries with that. And the stress of that and the burden of that is always there. But the grace of God and the joy of that, it was a joy for him. There was joy that he had with them. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He's talking to those who's at odds with each other. He said, I thank God for you upon every remembrance of you. I can remember when you got saved. I can remember when you walked with God. I can remember as you led your family and you carried your family to the house of God. And so Paul said, I thank God for you this morning. Praise God. There's something to thank God for. And today, so Paul, his heart was there, a shepherd's heart. Amen. The confirmation of his heart is found in verse 8. For God is my record. God is keeping record. What Paul is saying, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. They might not even have admitted that he loved them, but he loved them anyway. He had them in his heart anyway. Even though they wouldn't admit it, even though they might have been at odds with him, he still loved them. And that's a shepherd's heart. Amen. It grieves him. Sure it does. And it's sad, and it's a burden to carry. But I tell you, there's those that don't appreciate the shepherd's heart. And brother, we ought to thank God for shepherds that cares about the flock. Amen. Cares about the flock. And bring something to them from the Word of God. Confirmation of his heart is found there in verse 8. For God is my record. He said, God is keeping record of my heart. God is my record. Paul was saying, in effect, I'm telling you the truth. He said, I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And you know the reason you can love those that despise you or those that speak against you or those you're out of fellowship with is because deep inside of you there's something that God gave you through Jesus Christ, through the bowels of Jesus Christ. You know why? Now, brother, because Jesus looked at that crowd that crucified him. He looked out across that crowd that carried him to that old rugged cross. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. That's a shepherd's heart. That's the great shepherd. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. And I'm going to tell you, he puts some of that in every man of God's heart that will let him. And brother, that's not in it for filthy lucre or for position or for praise. Amen. And brother, he puts that in their hearts. And they thank God for those that are under his shepherdness, up under his sheep. He thanks God for them. And he said, and so much there in verses 8, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. It's all because of Jesus that we can even love one another. Amen. And brother, the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost God gives us. The love of God's in the hearts of those that are saved. And that you can't forgive your enemies, brother, and even those that despitefully use you have been, listen, you got something lacking in your heart. And because Jesus forgave those that crucified him, that hated him, and carried him to that old rugged cross, and nailed him, he even forgave those that nailed those spikes in his feet and his hands. He forgave that old soldier that cast a spear into his side, twisted it, and brought out the water and the blood. Oh, thank God, the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that is given unto us. Jesus gives us that kind of love. And the shepherd, as Paul, have the kind of love that Jesus had, and he showed that love, he exercised that love, and brother, conducted himself with the love of God in his heart. Yet he had the courage and the grace to stand against those things and to stood against his Savior. Amen. He didn't lacken his responsibility to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Take a stand for the Lord, and having your loins girt about with truth. The breastplate of righteousness and all of these things we have as the servant of God. So we've got a duty to do that. And so Paul was one, and that you find the confirmation of his heart there in verses 8, verses 9 through 11, you find the prayer of his heart. Oh, the prayer of his heart. He prayed for them. Amen. And for this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And that's what Paul has said, he being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. That's a kind of a heart that Paul had. He said, I pray that you might approve of things that are, you better be careful what you put your approval upon in this world today, because there's lots of things that, brother, that's in this world, if you put your approval upon, will destroy your testimony and destroy your influence. Amen. As a child of God, and Paul prayed for them that they might approve things that are excellent. Amen. Things that are right. And take a stand for those things that are biblical and the scriptural. Oh, my friend, Paul had that kind of a heart, and he prayed that they would also have that kind of a heart in them, that they might approve things that are excellent, and the things that are scriptural, the things that are right for the glory of God. Oh, my friend, that's the heart of Paul this morning. Thank God for his heart. Amen. Thank God for his heart this morning. I'm glad God put a heart in the heart of his shepherd, that he might guide the flock and show forth the love of God in the hearts of those that are saved. May God bless you, is our prayer. Until next Sunday, this Saint Mason Church this morning. God bless you.